So in November, last November, six of us were able to go, including Hillary and I, to Israel. We decided against the whole tour because, well, it was expensive at the time. But we were lucky because we had the greatest teacher for 3 days in the Galilee. The greatest teacher. It was the most wonderful experience. And we spent a whole week in Jerusalem just doing what we wanted to do, just saw what we wanted to. But the Galilee was the most experience we had. It was wonderful. And we got to be Rami and his wife, Gabby, and we got to even be at their house, and it overlooks the Sea of Galilee. Could you picture this? And you see the shepherd and the sheep coming down the hill. I still see it, and the full moon. I still see these things. But anyway, the past couple of days, Rami Daniele has been giving us was kind of a three-part series. And those who have not been to those last two, don't worry, it's not over. And Rami will take off where he left off, but he will fill it in for you. And you will love his teaching. He is such a gifted teacher. And he has truth, what he says. So, and we love their hearts, and we love their spirit, and we have a lot of things to tell us today. So, at this time, I call up Rami and Daniele, and come on down.
Hallelujah. What a nice worship. If you have your Bibles, you know, I want to continue with this spirit of worship, of praise. And I had a crazy idea while I was sitting there. I hope you will like it. Open your Bibles in Psalm 92, which is the psalm for the Sabbath day. And allow me to enjoy myself. Hopefully you will enjoy it also. I will read it in Hebrew. I want to read it in Hebrew because I don't know the Hebrew as I know that the Hebrew has some very specific, special feeling to it. Those of you who know Hebrew, be blessed. Those of you who do not know Hebrew, be blessed while reading, following it in your English Bible. Okay, sounds good? Then we will say a word of prayer and we will start. So it's Psalm 92. Hallelujah. מזמור שיר ליום השבת. טוב להודות לאדוני ולזמר לשמך עליון. להגיד בבוקר חסדך ואמונתך בלילות. עלי עשור ועלי נבל, עלי היגיון בחינור. כי שמחתני אדוני בפועליך, במעשי ידיך ארנן. מה גדלו מעשיך אדוני? מאוד עמקו מחשבותיך. איש בער לא ידע, וכסיל לא יבין את זאת. בפרוח רשעים כמו עשב, ויציצו כל פועלי אבן, להישמדם עדי עד. ואתה מרום לעולם, אדוני, כי הנה אויביך, אדוני, כי הנה אויביך יובדו. התפרדו כל פועלי אבן, ותרם קיראם קרני, בלותי בשמן רענן. ותבט עיני בשוריי, בקמים עליי מרעים, תשמענה אוזניי. צדיק כתמר יפרח, כארז בלבנון ישגה, שתולים בבית אדוני, בחצרות אלוהינו יפריחו. עוד ינובון בסיבה, דשנים ורעננים יהיו. להגיד כי ישר אדוני צורי ולא אבלת בו. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. So Abba, thank you for this. Thank you so much for this Shabbat. Oh Abba, I bless this holy crowd, saints, B'Shem Yeshua Mashiach, in the name of Yeshua, Jesus. Thank you, Abba, for this Shabbat. Thank you. I pray that you will flow through my mouth. And even with the accent, that people will be blessed because they will drink and eat from your river of life. And from the tree of life, Abba, that you will give us all today, this morning. Abba, we love you. We worship you. We love you, Abba. Forgive our sins, Abba. Thank you that you are forgiving God. Oh, Abba, what we would do without your mercies. What we would do without your grace. You know us inside out. We cannot perform. We cannot put up a front or a show. You know our inward members. You know our inward thoughts. And to you, רק לך, הגבורה והתפארת, כי only to you, the honor and the glory forever and ever, בשם ישוע. Amen. Give him a clap. Hallelujah, Abba. How many of you have been here the last two nights? Ooh, so quite a few haven't been. Okay. Of course, I will not repeat what we did last night. I will give you a little summary, by God's grace, with God's help, and go straight into our teaching today. By the way, those of you who have not been here the last two nights, you can, I think it was recorded, right? For sure? Okay, so go to Paul, go to, forgot his name, the dear man over there, the saint over there, and they will give you, they will let you listen to the last two nights' teachings. What I introduced to you in the last two nights was the Hebraic mindset, the Hebraic thinking, the Hebraic culture, which is all around and in and through our scriptures. And when I say our scriptures, of course, I mean all of this book, both Old and New Covenant writings or books, okay? We spoke about the beginning and the end, that they are very well connected. We went into deep waters yesterday when we connected actually the very end, Revelation chapter 21, with Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Okay, and we saw how well they all fit. We spoke about Yeshua who said, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, right? And we spoke about the impossibility of putting this phrase on a line. Yeah, because then he has a beginning and he has an end. That does not make sense, biblical sense, okay? Because he is eternal, right? So he is the Alpha and he is also the Omega. The beginning and the end are the same. We said that Yeshua said at least twice in scriptures, once at that famous first day of the week, the feast of first fruits, the resurrection day, for those who did not get it yet. Intentionally, I don't say Sunday because nobody called it Sunday back then, yeah? Only the Greeks who worshiped the sun god. So, beloved, we say that in that first day of the week, Yeshua met with those two disciples of his, right? On the way to Emmaus, and he opened their eyes, remember? And while doing it, their hearts were burning. And what it caused, actually, in their lives, that they just made a change, a shift, 180 degrees shift, while they gave their back to Jerusalem on the way to Emmaus, now after he opened the scriptures to them, they just turned and went back to Jerusalem. We say that we all need to look back to Jerusalem and leave Rome or anything which represents Babylon, the harlot, behind. Okay, I just added it now. So, beloved, Yeshua also said, he opened the scriptures in Luke 24, that's what I was talking about, the road to Emmaus. He opened the scriptures. Actually, there were no New Testament scriptures back then, right? We established this truth, historical truth. The first church, the first believing community, can call it synagogue, congregations, as we call it in Israel, they did not have the books of the New Covenant. So what did they read? What did they preach out of? Yeah, of course, what we call mistakenly the Old Covenant scriptures. We saw in Luke 24 that Yeshua opened the scriptures beginning from Moses through the prophets, etc. Right? Are you still following? Then we read, oh, we didn't, I forgot already what I did yesterday, so you forgive me, okay? I think, at least in one of those meetings here in California, we also quoted John 5. If you would believe Moses, you would believe me, because Moses wrote about me. Actually, this is the title of my book, my new book, not the one outside. Yeah, Moses wrote about me, where I give a commentary and show on the Torah, books of the Torah. I'm still in Genesis, but by God's grace, if he gives me health, if I'm still alive, hopefully I will finish 5 books of Moses, portraits, foreshadows of Yeshua throughout the Torah. And we touched on it a little bit. Remember yesterday, first Adam, second or last Adam? Remember, as first Adam took the fruit out of love, second Adam comes and takes the fruit, sin, out of love. Again, if you don't know what I'm talking about, there are recordings. Now, let's start with today's teaching. If you will, please open in 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. And Paul, or Shaul from Tarsus, in Messianic circles, they like to call him Rabbi Shaul. Rabbi is a teacher. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, Paul says to the Corinthians, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendations from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Messiah, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, Ruach HaKodesh. Not on tablets of stones, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Messiah toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, Brit Chadasha. We touched on it yesterday, if you remember, Jeremiah 31:31, new covenant, which was made by God and his people Israel, while Gentiles are joining in as first-class citizens. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now I want you to make a little leap to verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, Paul says, Shaul says, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. By the way, before you run into conclusions, he does not speak about the Torah, which passed away. He speaks about the face of Moses. You can read it throughout this chapter and you will see in the context, okay? Context, 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 okay? But their minds were blinded, verse 14. For until this day, and we are a messianic synagogue, we are very privileged that we are not unlike other synagogues who are not believing in Yeshua. Jewish synagogues, till this very day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Covenant. It should be not Testament, yeah? Torah. Because the veil is taken away in Messiah. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. This is so, so sad. At least as an Israeli Jew, I tell you, this is so sad. Because they do read their Torah. They do know their scriptures. At least the religious ones. I don't speak about the 50% in Judaism, modern Judaism, which are secular. They care less about those things. Yeah, I'm talking about those God fearing, those people who yearn for the coming of the Messiah. They read the Torah, they read what I'm going to read from this portion today. But there is a veil, which was actually thickened and thickened more and more in the last 1900 years of so-called Christian history. The veil started already in Isaiah 6, by the way. Remember the cyclical? It was thickened in Yeshua's time, and it was even more thickened throughout the history of Christianity. Read the book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, by Dr. Michael Brown, a Messianic Jew, and you will see what I'm talking about, how the veil was thickened even more. The veil on the faces of the Jews. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the Adon, in Hebrew, Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, till this very day, when they read Moses, they have a veil on their eyes, on their face. Are you with me? Let's turn and take one example from our Torah portion, this week's Torah portion, Shoftim. This Rachel did such a wonderful, where is she? Wonderful job reading it, yeah? Turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy 18, our portion. And let's read what all of us know by heart. I mean, we can recite it, yeah? Especially the Messianic Jews among us, and the Messianic Gentiles as well. Verse 14 of Deuteronomy 18. Intentionally, I don't start in the following verse, verse 15, because it will take away the context. Okay? For those nations, Moses says to his people, just before crossing the Jordan River. You know that all the book of Deuteronomy was written, was given by Moses to his people in the last 5 to 6 weeks of Moses' life. In the plains, the geographic locations, the plains of Moab, just before crossing the Jordan, across Jericho. Are you with me? So he prepares them for the crossing. Now you know already, I think I spoke with you or with others, yeah, already, about the parallelism between the story of our salvation and the story of the exodus of our forefathers. Are you with me? As our forefathers, I will repeat it just for those who don't know what I'm talking about. As our forefathers applied the blood of the Passover lamb on their lintels and doorposts, I do like this, I should not, on the real ones, yeah, in Egypt, and thus were taken out of Egypt, so you and me, all of us, had our Passover experience because we applied not just a lamb blood, you know, any lamb, yeah, but we applied the lamb of Passover's blood, you remember? On our lintels, now I can do it, in our doorpost. Clear? As they were baptized, taken, raptured out of Egypt, taken out of Egypt in the middle of the night, yeah? And were baptized into Moses and into the cloud, so we did the same. We were baptized into the second Moses, Yeshua, right? Jesus, Yeshua. And we were baptized into the cloud, into the Holy Spirit, right? As they stood at Mount Sinai, we stood at Mount Zion at Pentecost. We had our Pentecost experience. Are you with me? As they walked the walk in the wilderness on their way to their promised land, that's what we do today. We are walking towards the promised land. And the walk is not easy, to say the least. It has bumps. It has valleys of shadow of death on the way. Don't be surprised. This, you are following the pattern of your forefathers. Clear? As they crossed eventually, the Jordan River into their promised inheritance, that's why they were taken out of Egypt, not to be stuck on Mount Sinai, right? As they crossed under the leadership of Joshua and not Moses, because Moses does not take you to your promised land. Moses takes you only to the Jordan River. Torah does not let you in. It's Yeshua, Joshua, who lets you in. Not doing away with the Torah, but giving a new perspective to the Torah in your inheritance. Are you with me? So Moses is preparing the people just before the crossing of the Jordan. And let me tell you something, saints, holy people, in the Yeshua's blood, beloved people of God. Let me tell you, we are at the Jordan River. We are almost at the Jordan River. We are in the plains of Moab spiritually. Are you with me? Yeshua is coming soon. We are going to cross over very soon. So we do need to prepare ourselves, don't we? Actually, I'm doing these trips, you know, teaching trips every summer, sometimes twice, also winter, yeah? God gives me themes to teach, you know? And I develop it as he allows me by his grace. At each place I do it the same, a bit different, okay? But the last two or three years, he actually impresses on my heart to prepare the people. First of all, myself. Yeah, you know, every good preacher preaches to himself first. And teacher, yeah? So, we need to be prepared because we are almost at the crossing line. Are you still following? So, let's see what God has told us in his holy Torah, in the book of Deuteronomy, in the plains of Moab, just before crossing the river. For those nations which you will dispossess, listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. Which means the context of the following verses is false teachers. False teachers, you know, oh, the Lord told me, the Lord did this, you know, whatever. The Lord your God, verse 15, will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. From your brethren, him you shall hear. Listen carefully. We should not have the veil on our eyes when we read those verses. Because when the Jews in the synagogues today, on the Sabbath holiday, read this, they think, he talks about Jeremiah, he talks about Isaiah, he talks about many prophets. No, he talks about singular prophet here. And the context, soon you will be amazed how the closing verse, the context for us and shows and points to the Messiah, not to any other prophet. Let's continue. From your brethren, him you shall hear, verse 16, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, not let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And I will take you soon back to Exodus to deal with it, to elaborate on it. What is the context, please listen carefully, of God raising a prophet like Moses, bigger than Moses actually, yeah? Yeshua. What is the context? Number one, possessing the inheritance. And in that inheritance, there are still enemies to drive out. Soothsayers, false prophets, are you with me? No, you do not listen to anyone. You listen only to him, to Yeshua, to Joshua, who crosses the Jordan with you, for you. Are you with me? The most amazing thing here in the context is that God raises this prophet like you raised Moses. Why? Because the people did not wish to hear God personally. Did you get it? I just read it. Don't. If you disagree with me, you disagree with the Bible. Friends, God raises Moses and he puts him as a mediator on Mount Sinai between the people and him. And the Jews now argue with me and says, oh, we do not need mediators. Really? You ask for it. Don't you know your own Torah? Yes, they know their own Torah, but they have a veil. Are you with me? And the veil is lifted only when Yeshua gives them an encounter. It's not logic. For us, it seems so logical. Of course, it speaks singular. It's, you know, Moses was a mediator. Yeshua is a mediator. Of course, for us, because the veil was lifted because we had an encounter with the living God. Are you with me? But it's important to understand the context again is there are many false teachers around. And you yourself did not desire to hear God personally. You are afraid that you will die. So here I give you Yeshua. Here I give you Moses. Let's continue. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up from them a prophet like you from among their brethren and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I commanded him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. And then he speaks, goes on to speak about false prophets, you know, and how we can differentiate between real prophecy and not real prophecy. By the way, the church today is filled, and I'm talking also messianic synagogues. Unfortunately, I will not exaggerate and say filled, but here and there you hear false prophecies. Under the cover of, or the excuse of grace, we lost the reverence, we lost the fear of God. I have a sense, you know, that this dear woman suffers from this and this. So the Lord told me. Yeah? She goes home. One day passes. 1 week passes. 1 year. Nothing is fulfilled. Under the Torah, she should come and tell Rabbi, you should put me in the middle and stone me. Yep. As a false prophet. Where is the fear of God? Why do you think that God has changed? Do you think he changed under the new covenant? No. No, 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 no. The book of Hebrews tells me that it's even more scary to see now under the new covenant than under the old covenant. Yeshua raised the bar of the, you know, of the old covenant. I don't know how many miles. Beloved, I want to elaborate with your permission on verse, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. Turn with me, please, to Exodus. The letter kills, the spirit gives life. What in the world does Paul speak about? And guess what? It is the Spirit which will let you in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Messiah, and not the letter. I tell you again, it's not the letter and how well you know to read the Torah portions without any mistakes, how well you know the melody. It's not how well you know where to do this. I'm not sarcastic. I'm serious. It's not how well you know to raise your hands, okay, or quote scriptures or quote the Siddur prayers, which are wonderful. It is not the letter, but the spirit which will let you in. What am I talking about? There are two levels of worshiping the Lord God Almighty. One is the soulish level. Are you with me? Soulish, our apprehendance, our understanding, our logic, our emotions, okay? The way we process things. And this relates to the Torah, the letter that kills. And there is yet another level, the spiritual level, which is full dependency on God's attributes. full dependency on God Almighty. Full dependency on Joshua and not on Moses. Soon you will see what I'm talking about. Turn with me to Mount Sinai event, and I'm going to show you that Mount Sinai event is not only Mount Sinai event, it also foreshadows for us Mount Golgotha event. No, Mount Sinai is Mount Sinai, is Moses, no? No, Yeshua there, really? Let us find Yeshua on Mount Sinai. Because Yeshua wants us to look at the Torah not through the letter, but through the spirit. Are you with me? So let's get now into this deeper waters, with your permission. Exodus 20. After the announcing of the Ten Commandments, verse 18 says the following. Verse 18. Exodus 20, verse 18. Now all the people witnessed the thunders and lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, by the way, trumpet, which kept going stronger and stronger. Show me one human being who can, you know, blow the trumpet and continue and continue and even be stronger. It was God himself. Jewish rabbis in their traditions agree. I mean, I agree with them. You know, no human being can blow the shofar like it was on Mount Sinai because it was stronger and stronger. Can you imagine? You would need earplugs. I'm not joking. No wonder the people react like they react. In verse 18, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Wouldn't you? Scary, scary event. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." Are you with me? Lest we die. So Moses says, "It's okay, it's for you, it's to test you, if you will hear." Yeah? The next verses, he calms them down, and like was required, desired by them, he goes now to the mountain to receive the tablets. Are you following? And while he's in the mountain, time goes by because he gets